Anderson heaving one down the sideline, and he's got Cass Allen.
Listening to the Bruin Bible. This is your host, Will Decker, bringing you UCLA football content all throughout the year for LA Football Network.
What is up, LAFB fans? Will Decker, your host from the Bruin Bible, and draft is in session. We are here to talk about Bet Online and the good people behind the brand. Football season is officially back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You'll find the latest odds, matchup info, player needs, and game trends. And as your continued source for all sports wagering info, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports and events like MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code LAFB to receive your rewards. Bet Online, where the game starts. Is up and welcome to a brand new edition of the Bruin Bible. Will Decker, your host here with Jamal Madney coming through. We got a very special guest. We promised it because it was rivalry week. USC-UCLA, Victory Bell. We had to bring on the two-time All-American tight end, Charles Buck Arbuckle, in the house. Buck, how are you doing, my man? It's great to see you, and go Bruins.
I'm good, man. I'm just, you know, this time of year is always busy. I got back last year to the LSU game. Hadn't been able to get back this year to anything because I'm all over the place working, which is a good thing, but everything's good. Everything's good. It's just this week is always a pretty special week. I don't talk to any of the Trojans. All the guys that I know as Trojans, we don't probably even text this week just to get back to the way it was. Talk a lot of trash leading up to it and then afterwards. So I'm excited about what's going to transpire on Saturday.
Man, well, we're feeling the good vibes ourselves. Really going to dive into the USC-UCLA game. But when you got Buck in the house, we kind of got to go back to the beginning of his football career and kind of what transpired there. You were born in Beaumont, Texas, my man. So Texas is kind of a religion in its own self out there. Give me the lowdown on how you got involved in the game that led you, you know, to us talking to you right now.
Yeah, I really loved baseball and basketball more growing up. I mean, I always tell people basketball is probably where I got to the league just because of learning how to use your body and attack the basketball was the football to me. You know, I was a pretty good basketball player, but I wasn't going to grow past a certain height. And once I started seeing that and playing in some of those top-level AAU events, and I was like, okay, football is where I'm going to hang my hat. But I loved baseball growing up, too. And then once I started playing football, in Texas, sooner or later, they're going to get you to play football. You can say you're going to do this or do that, and sure enough, a big-body kid that can run and move, before long, you're going to be playing some kind of sports, and generally it's going to be football. So, I started playing when I was young. I stopped a little bit for a few years and then played back in high school. And our high school was really good at Willow Ridge, right outside of Houston, Missouri City. Thurman Thomas was a senior when I was a sophomore. So I played with Thurman in basketball. I didn't play with him in football because I didn't start varsity till I was a junior. We had guys, I mean, we were stacked. So I just really learned from some guys that knew how to play, and you had to compete. If you were going to get on the field, you had to compete against your own guys, and then the guys around our area were really good. I mean, James Francis was at Lamarck. Andre Ware was at Dickinson. Ended up going to, you know, Kimball Anders at Galveston Ball. I mean, I can think of 10 or 15 guys off the top of my head that were high schoolers that then became pro football players. Broderick Thomas at Madison. So, you know, you learn early, at an early age, to compete. And that's kind of what got me into football.
So the guy to my right is a proud UCLA alum. And just knowing the lore of Texas football, you know, mm-hmm. with the likes of UT, SMU was big at that time, right. You know, Texas Tech, Baylor, you name it. There's a lot of great schools there. How did you end up, you know, going to UCLA, yeah. You know, as a whole? Is we just want to know how you found your way to the West Coast, Arv.
Yeah, so it's funny. If as I was a history major, but as I learned the migratory patterns of where African Americans were from Louisiana and Texas and sometimes Mississippi, they usually went out to California. So we had a lot of family in California. Jobs were better. Jim Crow South was a little bit different. And the one thing I can remember growing up is even seeing UCLA or some of the Pac-8 games with Black players in it. I was really small, so I don't remember vividly that I saw that with Texas, because I got into football at an early age, but you know how you're 4 or 5, you don't know. But it was always interesting. We would go out to California every so often in the summer to visit relatives. So I got a chance to go to LA. And then when I was in, junior high, I ended up playing an AAU tournament on UCLA's campus. So that was the time I said, well, man, this is pretty neat. If I ever get a chance to come out here, because, the eucalyptus plants, the sunshine, Bruin Walk, it was pretty cool for a seventh grader. But I said, if I ever got the chance, I would do it. And you know how you say things, you don't ever really know if they're going to come to fruition. The problem with Texas and Texas A&M and SMU, I probably would have stayed at home and went to A&M. I didn't like Fred Akers at Texas. TCU was really good at the time with Jim Wacker. I got recruited by them. So I did some unofficial visits at home. But with SMU going on probation, with all the things in the Southwest Conference kind of unraveling, it was a perfect opportunity for me to go out west.
Love that story. It really unbelievable that, what I love is the sort of the lineage of history, social justice.
Yeah.
Propelled you to go to UCLA, which is so synonymous with UCLA.
Yeah.
And then, Buck, please.
Yeah, with Jackie Robinson, I mean, to be on, I still get goosebumps to be an All-American and to see his name, to be anywhere mentioned with him is one thing, but Arthur Ashe, all the great Bruins that had come before, and you learn about even people that we didn't know that were great freedom fighters, civil rights folks that were on the forefront for equality. So that sometimes I would always look back and say, well, what if I'd gone to school here, gone there? I always tell people the 4 versus 40, when I tell people I go to UCLA, it's just amazing how they're, UCLA, wow. Tell me more about it, because there's such an allure with the school and the program and the people that have come from there.
No, absolutely, Buck. And it's so great to hear a perspective from a former Bruin. And so, Buck, once you were a Bruin and once you were on the field, and specifically you were at a time with Coach Donahue and overlapping with some of the greatest teams in UCLA football history, certainly in the last 50 years, what were some of your notable memories, both against SC as well as otherwise, that still stand out to this day?
Well, it's pretty incredible when I tell people there were 35 guys or so that were drafted or played in the NFL, free agent, 34 in the 4 years that I was in school. And the very first day I get on the field, I got Ken Norton across from me yelling, James Washington telling me he's from Watts. And I'm like, I can't be explicit on this show, but it was some pretty harsh words. I'm like, I'm from MF in Houston, Texas. So I don't. And every, I walked on the field because I was pretty quiet, but I had to survey who I had to kind of go after to make sure they couldn't punk me. And so it was just amazing to remember. I watched those guys practice for the Rose Bowl, and I could just tell. I told everybody when I got back home from that recruiting trip, I said, they're going to beat the doors off of Iowa. And they said, why? I said, I could just sense it. You could just tell. And one of the last people that I talked to before I left was Eric Ball. And, EB was, I had some family members in Detroit. So they do a really good job. I think Donahue did a great job of setting you up with the right people. Mel Farr Jr. and Mike Farr, their dad was from Beaumont, Texas, but he was in Detroit. So that Mel Jr. was my host. So, I mean, I had, it was hard not to say yes to that because I knew Mel Farr Sr. growing up. I mean, he was a legend from the Golden Triangle and all of those things. But it was so many good things of that recruiting trip that I almost wanted to sign then. And my mom was like, hey, just slow down, take your time. So I did. I ended up going to another couple of trips. But as I got to school, just competing every day against these guys and then, just being on campus, I can't say I was the best student my first couple of years, but I really did buckle down, and I was a good student in high school. And I think that was the one thing that I really liked too, because the competition in the classroom and then on the field was outstanding. I mean, we had great victories early in my career against Nebraska when I was a junior. We actually played them tough my sophomore year, and I knew we would play better. But, you know, you play Oklahoma and they beat you bad, and you get closer against Nebraska than we got in Nebraska when they came out. You know, we were number one in the country for a while, but the problem for me was my freshman year, we had such a great game against USC. And I mean, we beat them bad, like 45-7. As a freshman, you're like, oh, well, this is going to happen every year. So sure enough, the next 2 years, I lose to them to go to the Rose Bowl. And we still go to very good games. But it was one of those things where we all look back and say, man, those games were great, great rivalry. We wanted to beat them badly. And so my senior year, we kind of went out with somewhat of a bang by tying them, if you believe that. But they were much better than we were that year because we had lost Troy. And so by then, you know, they were able to have a really good season, but we were able to kind of put a blemish on them. I think the big thing with the SC rivalry is that you have a lot of respect for those guys, but you don't really like them this week. They don't like you. You don't like them. And it shows up on the field. I mean, it's one of those games where every star that is on our sideline, whether it's Kareem, whether it's all the movie stars we have. And on their sideline, you can see O.J. Simpson, who probably has the biggest head I've ever seen. And I got a big head. Marcus Allen and all the, you know, all the Trojan lore on their sideline. And it's cool because back then, you know, they didn't really, the Rams were okay and the Raiders weren't great. We were the stars. I mean, we would go places and it was like we were big time. And, you know, when you're number one or four and five or whatever we were in at that time playing for the right to the Rose Bowl, that was pretty cool. Those were special memories.
Man, and you took the next question kind of from me, man. You were catching passes as a two-time All-American from Hall of Fame quarterback Troy Aikman. And, yeah. You know, from the outside as fans, we look down there and we see what he's able to do on the football field. But he wins over the locker room, you know, as the quarterback. He's got the moxie. He's got the confidence out there. I was wondering if you could tell me what made Troy Aikman, in your opinion, a great quarterback, and share one story you got from him for your UCLA playing days.
Yeah, you know, we called him Bub a little bit. I call him Ake. The thing that made Ake so special was just he worked as hard as anybody. It wasn't, you know, I look down on you because I'm this, you know, great quarterback. I can just remember when he first got there, we saw him throwing off to the field on another field. And back then you didn't have YouTube, you didn't have all that, but we had kind of heard that there was a quarterback that may be transferring in. So I watched this kid throw, and then I'm one of the first ones, and then Reggie Moore, my roommate, came out and I said, man, our prayers have been answered. Because this dude could throw the ball. I mean, it was just, I think he was throwing with Rick or Coach Neuheisel and somebody else. And he was just, I mean, making all the throws. And we were like, God, dog. So finally, you know, fast forward, when he first got on the field, 7-on-7, it was just, he was accurate. The thing that Troy could do was put the ball on you. And he could throw it hard enough if he needed to, but he had all the ability to throw with speed, with great velocity over the top. I mean, he was just really good about all of those things. And, you know, the funny thing is I have a lot of stories, but the ones that I always like is that the wide receivers are the last, you know, they're the first ones to run out. And they always run out and they're telling them, I'm going to be open. And I'm in the huddle. And I said, hey, you know where to go on this wide option. You know I'm open, right? So I always had the last word. And whenever I see him, I just tease him because we became really good at working together. And it was so good that he knew where I was going to be and I would be there. And sure enough, we were practicing one day and Coach Axman, Steve Axman, our offensive coordinator at the time after Homer left, was in the field, kind of in the middle of the field where you should never be if you're throwing option routes to a tight end. And it just so happened, I went out, Troy was thinking I was going in, and he pegged Axman in the chest. He still gets on me about that. He said, you knew I was standing there. I was like, nah, Troy dismissed me that day. That's one of the few misses I had from Troy our time there. We were able to connect on a lot of great passes, and it was great to look back on some of those things and just kind of think about him and, you know, all the guys that I was there with. You know, his mom just passed last week, so I want to send my condolences to him. I reached out to him, and, you know, she was a great lady. And Troy's a great Bruin because he clearly loved his time at UCLA, and we're still, all of us are lifelong friends. But especially, I just, whenever I see him on the road or whenever we're at events, it's like old times. It's like we're back in back on campus.
Man, thoughts and prayers out to the Aikman family after Mrs. Aikman unfortunately passed away. Buck, I got to take it. You know, you went into the draft. You're a two-time mm-hmm. All-American. You played professional football. You lived out pretty much every kid that picks up a football's dream. What are you most proud of when it comes back on your college career and pro career as a whole?
You know, I think it was just coming back from injuries in college. You know, I was injured quite a bit early on, and that was a tough part for me, just, you know, just fighting. I mean, it got to a point, I think between my sophomore and junior year, or junior and senior year, we had talked about redshirting. And I really wanted to finish up because I thought I could do it. And we talked a little bit about it, but we were depleted at tight end, so I decided not to. But I think just battling, just, you know, being able to get on the field, competing, you know, the Washington State game is a prime example. I just come back from a knee injury there, able to catch a ball to get us down to the 6-yard line. We don't win that game, but it's still just battling, just fighting. And I think that was the one thing for me in college that I looked at. And then in the pros, it's funny. My only touchdown in the NFL was against another Bruin, Marcus Turner. You know, they were playing cover 3, and I had a seam route, and he came over late, caught it, walk-off touchdown against the Jets. So Marcus, we always give each other crap about that because we played each other twice a year in the AFC East. I think that, you know, anytime you can score a touchdown and you win a game, that's kind of what you want to do when you're a kid. I think those are memories that you just kind of look back on and really they warm your heart a little bit.
I love it, man. And last question before we dive into the USC-UCLA game. This is kind of what we've dubbed at LA Football Network as West Coast tight end U. If you look at, you know, the recent trend of tight ends we've had here, Caleb Wilson, you know, we went to Devin Asiasi, and then Greg Dulcich last year. Three straight tight ends have been drafted from the UCLA Bruins. Hudson Habermill may be another guy. You know, Michael Ezeke may be another guy.
Yeah.
How much pride does that bring you as somebody who's an all-time great tight end for the UCLA Bruins?
It's good because it goes back to before I got there, whether it was Doc Walker, whether it was Paul Bergman, whether it was Tim Reitman. Derek Tennell was in school with me for a couple of years, and Derek was kind of passed on the tradition of the great tight end play. And I mean, I think that was the biggest thing for me. That's why I think I went to UCLA. They told me they would use the tight end, and they talked about the guys that they had in the past. And it was a tight end focus at UCLA before some other schools. The schools I picked were all schools that I thought would throw the ball to the tight end, whether it was Stanford, whether it was Notre Dame, whether it was LSU, Miami. You know, I really wanted to go to Miami. And I decided not to go on that trip, but they had all those schools that I looked at all had tight ends and guys that can make plays. So to see the tradition passed on is pretty, It's pretty cool because it just keeps passing and you keep seeing the improvement and the evolution of guys that just at that position, which I really love.
I love to hear it, man. Well, we got to dive into a football game. We got the victory bell coming up on Saturday. And, Buck, what I love about this game is the two offenses and how different they are, but the two men in charge both have genius in different ways. With Chip Kelly, we know it's the run game. He can run the ball down your throat. He can do it with his four-string running back. He can do it with the beast that is Charbonnet. With the USC side, it's the complete opposite. He's going to be aerial attack. Caleb Williams, you know, future probably number one pick, if we're being honest. Jordan Addison on the outside. Give me your thoughts coming into this game and looking at both offenses for USC and our favorites, the UCLA Bruins.
Yeah, you know, I think for them, you got to look at them losing Travis Dye. I think that's a big loss for USC. I know that we think they don't run the ball, but they've run the ball much better this year than I have seen them in the past. I still don't think their offensive line is a USC offensive line with the guys I think about Anthony Munoz and Tony Baselli and some of the – I mean, you know, when you think of SC, they got all those big jokers over there. We might have been a little smaller, but we knew how to get after those cats. I think one thing that hurts UCLA on the other side is Kaz Allen. I don't think he's back this week, which is a big loss because he doesn't. You don't have anybody to blow the top off the defense. So some of those things kind of affect both teams. But I think the biggest thing for UCLA and DTR in particular is just letting the game come to him. Sometimes when he tries to do too much, because he's such and this year he's really reined it in where he's controlled it and he knows when to run and when to, you know, I don't like him hurdling people, but he's able to do it and it still works. But the fastball, sometimes at the end of the game, I think with Bobo coming across the back end, just give him something that he can work with. And I think those are the kind of things that if he does that, this team has a real good chance to win because they're going to run it. If they run it 45 times, Charbonnet is going to get his yards, and DTR has to also do his thing with his legs. That takes the ball away from USC and Caleb Williams because I really don't think – I think SC's defense on paper has gotten better. I still don't think it's an SC defense that I think of when you think of the Mark Carriers and, you know, the guys that they've had over the years that are really solid on defense. They're really good, and on paper they look good, but I think they still can be taken advantage of. So my thought is if our offense can control their offense in the sense of staying on the field, especially with the run game, that gives them a chance. You can't get in the hole like they were last week because if not, I mean, Caleb Williams is going to make some plays. We thought this Loria kid was running around. Caleb Williams runs around and he makes plays. He's been doing that ever since he started playing. So I think there's got to be a better containment of rush. If you're going to rush, make sure you get him down before he gets moving.
Buck, it's such an interesting analysis you bring to the table. Let me ask it this way. Mm-hmm. What is one thing that UCLA has to do in this game for you to feel like they're going to win? I mean, it sounds like, I know you talked about SC's offensive line defensively. Yeah. So it sounds like you're pretty confident personnel-wise that UCLA matches up well this year. What did they have to do to really sort of emphasize setting the tone, playing at the tempo they want to, and winning? And then on the flip side, what is one thing that makes you really nervous about SC and one thing that we have to really try and stop or mitigate in order to come out on top?
I got to go to the SC one first, Caleb Williams. I mean, Caleb is special. He's a special player. The thing that I will say this, the two guys that everybody thought was going to make plays against UCLA, they contained them. Michael Penix and then Cam Rising at Utah. So to me, the way Caleb Williams is, he's the X factor. You got to make sure you stop him. But for us, offensively, they're gonna get 400 or 500 yards. They've just been doing that all year. I don't think it's gonna stop with this game. The key is though, what happened in that Utah and Washington game? They turned the ball over and they had stops on third down. When this defense doesn't play well, it's because they're letting people march up and down the field and then they're scoring. So whatever it's gonna take, you gotta turn the ball over. You gotta make USC lose some possessions. So you take it away from their best player, who to me is Caleb Williams. I think they're playing a lot better on offense because of him. And their defense has played well, but they still have some holes that you can exploit. So I think Caleb Williams for them, defense has to start fast, has to get some turnovers, and find a way to get off the field on third down.
Well, Buck, we love it. I think it comes down to just one final question here. Thank you so much for coming on first and foremost, but we got to leave you with this. Buck, who is taking the victory bell on Saturday, and what is the final score in your prediction?
Man, I can't come on the show and tell you SC is going to win. UCLA is going to win this thing. I'd say it's going to be a high-scoring game, 45-42 UCLA. DTR finds a way to run one in or finds Bobo or one of the tight ends to win the game if they need it down late. I really do think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I think UCLA wins at 45-42.
Well, you heard it from Buck. Take the over on this game. There's going to be a lot of points in this. Hey, we'll take a DTR, you know, Heisman moment, if you will, making the play to win the game. Buck, we can't thank you enough for coming on the Bruin Bible. We'd love to have you again on the future. Bruins, we're going to be tailgating all throughout outside the Rose Bowl. Make sure to come check us out. LA Football Network, we're all going to be there. But Bruin Bible, we are – Oh, Buck, what's up?
Yeah, let me say one thing, too, to the Bruin fans. You guys got to start showing up. I go to a lot of different venues. Yeah. And, I'm saying like we used to do. when we had 90,000 deep, when we played teams, start showing up and showing some support, because these guys are going to give you their all every single week. And I think that you just owe it to yourself. If you want some entertainment value, I know there's a lot going on in L.A., but you can't get any better entertainment than a Saturday day or Saturday night out in Pasadena. You guys know that. I just hope people can start showing up. I know they'll be there this week. And if you sell your tickets, do not sell them to SC fans. You don't want to. I'm being real now, and I'll tell you that the love that these guys will show you, if that fan base is there, they're gonna play hard and they're gonna play fast, and they'll get that win for you.
Pack the freaking Rose Bowl, guys. Come out, tailgate, have fun. It's a Saturday night. You're going to be off that day for the majority of people in Los Angeles. Buck, thank you so much for coming on. Bruin Bible, we are a